In the name of Jesus Christ, our solid rock, on whom we stand now and will stand forever, dear brothers and sisters. You heard me give the stat already, 43 days till Christmas. For most of my life, I've had somewhat mixed emotions around this time of the year as we get closer and closer to Christmas. When I was in school, oh wow, I looked forward to Christmas break. Yeah! I looked forward to all the good things that came after the end of the semester, but I didn't look forward to all the things that led up to the end of the semester. The papers, the final exams. Ah! I looked forward to Christmas, but I didn't look forward to what led up to Christmas. Adults, maybe you feel that same way too. You love the idea of gathering with family or friends around the Christmas tree and those wonderful times, maybe a little time off of work, but you perhaps don't look forward to all the things leading up to that day. The cooking, the cleaning, the projects, the presents, the hustle and the bustle. If that day could only come without all the stuff that kind of goes before it sometimes that gets you so stressed out. Well, we might have those same emotions as we talk about our subject for today, the last day, or judgment day. You might think, you know, all the stuff that comes after that day, a lot of what we were talking about last week with saints triumphant, you know, those glories of heaven, no more death, mourning, crying, or pain. Wow, that sounds great. However, when we hear about all the things leading up to that day, some of those things don't sound so great. If you read in the pages of Scripture Jesus' own description of the days, times leading up to the last day, it doesn't sound great. He says there will be wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes, famines, hurricanes. Family units will become dysfunctional and get torn apart. Many will be persecuted because of the faith. The love of most will grow cold, which means not only will they not love the Word of God, they won't love each other, and awful atrocities of violence and selfishness will be seen across the pages of the news day by day. That doesn't sound very nice. Those are the days that we are living in right now, for the Lord's Day, the last day, Judgment Day, could be any day. And then, the day itself, when we hear about some of the descriptions of it in Scripture, well, that might cause you some mixed emotions too. The idea of standing before the throne of God, or... well, let me read this description to you from the book of Daniel chapter 7. It's verses 9 and 10, our sermon text for today. As I looked, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was white as snow. The hair of his head was white like wool. His throne was flaming with fire, and its wheels were all ablaze. A river of fire was flowing, coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened. It's a courtroom scene there. That's the last day. Daniel looks forward. He sees this vision. Who is the one who's coming as judge, the Ancient of Days? That is Jesus Christ himself. In the last book of Revelation, we see a very similar picture of him. It won't be long before we're singing beautiful cradle carols about a little babe in Bethlehem, so meek and so lowly. We think of Jesus like that at Christmas, but when he is coming back on the last day, there's no meek, lowly little babe resting in Mary's arms with sheep cooing. This is the picture clothing white as snow, hair of his head white like wool, throne flaming with fire. In the book of Revelation, we see his eyes are like blazing fire. As those are brought before him, he can see right through everything. There's no hiding before this judge. And then how about that last line? Did that cause a few mixed emotions? The court was seated and the boom, books were opened. If you ever go to trial, and I hope you don't have to, but if you ever go to trial, sometimes a good lawyer can get all kinds of evidence excused for one reason or another, so that the jury or the judge, in a sense, can't look at it or can't see it or can't act upon that. That can happen sometimes in a human legal system. That doesn't happen before God. The books are open. What does God see? He sees everything. See, we'd like to hide some of our sins away. We'd love for them to get dismissed from the court and from the judge. But Lord, I was so young, I didn't know what I was doing. My friends made me do it. But Lord, my parents were fools and idiots. They really caused me to go down that path. But Lord, that guy cut off right in front of me. But Lord, I had to work with that person year after year at that job. I couldn't help it that I did that. But Lord, you didn't know what it was like to be married to that person. But Lord, you didn't know what the temptations were like. And so can we just, do you see some good things I've done? No, that doesn't work. On the last day, the books are open and God sees it all. Which he's already seen now. He sees things that we've long forgotten or didn't even realize we've done. And there's no hiding. And that's a terrifying sight in my mind. I would be mortally terrified to have the books of Bergman opened before you today. To have you come up and read everything I've ever said, done, or thought. Oh. But how much more for a holy God to review the records of my life and yours. And on that last day, maybe you wonder deep down inside, is that the day when it's all going to come back right on my head? All of that stuff I've been running from for years. All those sins I've tried to hide from or hide behind my accomplishments and my good intentions and my good deeds. Is it all going to get poured back on that last day and put in my face? The devil would say, of course it is, you fool. So why don't you just eat, drink, and be merry now? Because that last day is coming, and how are you ever going to stand? Why would God ever love someone like you after what you've done? The books are opened. How will we stand? Well, there's another little detail in here. It was back in verse 9, as I looked, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. The picture there is that Jesus is in the middle. He's on his throne, but there's thrones around him. And I know we only have two verses printed here in your worship folder, but if we took the liberty of swimming through the rest of the Bible, we see some other beautiful details on this. Jesus says to his disciples, "One day you will be sitting on thrones with me in heaven. You will be right there on the last day." In the book of Revelation, not only do we have pictures of Jesus with blazing eyes, but we have pictures of Jesus riding in on a white horse with victory in his hands. And then we have pictures of thousands upon thousands standing around his throne, some who lost their lives for service to him. But all these people who are gathered around him, sitting on thrones, including those disciples, they were great big sinners in this world. And if you laid out their books and saw what they did, you'd see all kinds of things that shouldn't have been done. If the book of Peter, I don't mean the books in the Bible, I mean the record of what Peter, the disciple, did, would be laid out, well, you'd see attempted murder in the Garden of Gethsemane. Fishermen are military trained, so the guy ducked and he cut off his ear instead of his head, but attempted murder in the Garden of Gethsemane, denying Jesus three times that very night. Well, you'd see someone like Matthew, a tax collector who had cheated and had a heart full of greed. You'd see other believers gathered there too in heaven, like David, a king who broke all 10 commandments of the in one chapter of the Bible. You'd see sinner after sinner after sinner who should be judged, but why are they there? Well, because a new book has been put in place of the books of their sins. A book recording the deeds of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, true man and true God. Why are you saved? We often say, because Jesus died for me. That's true. But something big had to happen before that. Jesus Christ had to come and live perfectly from conception to death. A perfect human life in your place. He had to rewrite the book of your life. And that's what he did. He perfectly trusted in his God above all things, and he perfectly loved his neighbor as himself. And everything that he did, the book of perfection, he put your name on it. He put it in your place. And he gave it to you. And the judgment, the wrath of God, the fire of God that should be poured out upon you and me, he said, I'll take that. And that's what he did on the cross. He was going through judgment day for you in advance. He was suffering hell in your place. And then by rising again from the dead, he guaranteed that your name's written in the book of life. That you have an RSVP in heaven. And that when you come before him on the last day, and a holy judge would say, why should I let you into my heaven? You can say humbly but boldly, you shouldn't. But by the merits and life of Jesus Christ, I am perfect and I am saved and I am free. And then he looks at you and he says, come. Come to the kingdom that I have prepared for you. Come. To celebrate the victory that is yours forever, come. The last day will be a day of deliverance for you. You will see Jesus with your own eyes, and you will be with him forever in heaven. That day is coming when we don't know. But until then, we walk by faith and not by sight, and we say, Lord, use me now. To love my neighbor and get ready for you. And as you do that, see, Jesus has one more surprise coming for you on the last day. Well, it's kind of a surprise. He kind of ruined the surprise himself. I'm not criticizing God, but he kind of ruined the surprise himself in our gospel reading for the day. But you might be surprised on the last day because other books will be opened. Not books recording your sins, but books recording what you've done, empowered by him, out of faith and love for him. Things that you've done for others that you maybe have forgotten about or never realized quite that you were doing for him. Jesus describes some of these in our gospel reading. He said, when you saw someone hungry and you fed him, you saw someone thirsty and you gave him or her something to drink, when you saw a stranger and invited them in needing clothes and you clothed them, when you saw someone sick or in prison, when you saw the least of those and you reached out in love, I was behind that, empowering you to do that, and I was behind that person too. Maybe you didn't realize it, but you were doing it for me. And I was celebrating it, and the angels were celebrating, and we're going to celebrate that forever in heaven. And the thing that might be surprising to you is not that you did those things. You might be able to recall those, but that God put such importance on them, and that they'll be celebrated forever. Because some of these things are not headline-making things. But God says they're amazingly important and will be celebrated forever. So as you get ready for that day, Jesus says, I know you feel that your life at times might feel meaningless, that you don't have an impact, that you're not making headlines. But listen, listen, my son, my daughter, when it was 2 a.m. and your child was running a fever and you held your child in your arms and you got 20 minutes of sleep that night, I was there. I was behind that crying little child and you did that for me. And yeah, when you change that dirty diaper at 3 a.m., you might not have heard the cherubim and seraphim singing for joy, but I was there. They were. We're going to celebrate that forever. When you averted that argument that could have gotten so much worse with that member of your family, you did that for me. I know it was so hard to visit Dad when he was losing his mind, and sometimes he didn't know who you were. That was hard, but I was there. When you reached out to him in love, you were reaching out to me. When you shared the tears with someone at church when they had gone through the loss, I was there. You were wiping my tears as well. When you went on that tour of duty and you left your family for a year, that was hard. When you were willing to die to keep your brothers and sisters safe, you were doing that for me. And when you reached out with a cup of cold water to someone in need in a place that you never thought you'd be, you were reaching out to me. There is nothing you will do in this earth in my name that will be meaningless or trivial. Instead, everything you do will be celebrated forever in heaven, which means what you do this day is amazingly important. I'm with you. And one day I will take you to be with me, and we will celebrate forever in heaven. That day is coming. There will be no more wars or rumors of wars or earthquakes or famine or pain. So look forward to that day. And on that day, the last day when you see Jesus Christ come back to scoop you up in his arms, you will not have mixed emotions. You will know what perfect joy and peace is like forever. The day is coming. Amen. May the peace of God, which goes beyond all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and minds through faith in him. Amen.